Welcome. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, okay.
And Kevin Stefanski ready to barely answer those questions.
Do a little peppering. Hey, before we get into some other stuff.
I've taken my vitamins to prepare.
Mike Vrabel, apparently no longer under contract with the Browns. Explain exactly how this has gone, because I've read some things that say his contract expired. I've read others that say that the Browns have allowed him to go look for what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns just want to give him an opportunity to get a leg up on the head coaching searches around the league and allow him to be available to interview for those positions. This is not really a surprise. He was brought in with the intent that he was going to seek head coaching opening after the season. Did a lot of work with the tight ends and the offensive line. Did some work with the front office behind the scenes, obviously with the entirety of the coaching staff behind the scenes. But, this just gives him an opportunity to be available to interview for, for some other jobs here, head coaching jobs, whether that's at the NFL level, whether that ends up being in Columbus, Ohio. Vrabes is free to seek full-time employment.
Can I ask one follow-up on that? And it's this.
Well, it's your show, so you can ask whatever you want, Jeffrey.
Daryl, it's our show. It's this.
Thought it was our time, Mr. Hamm.
Have some pizza. If the Browns are doing a nice thing and allowing him to, get into the cycle, can we assume then that either A, the Browns wouldn't be interested in him as a head coach, or B, the Browns have a head coach?
I really don't know how to answer that, because I kind of feel it's like one and the same, right? If they have a head coach, then they're not interested.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? Like, okay. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to answer that other than they
have
a head
Browns
coach.
If the Browns thought they needed a head coach, they wouldn't let him look, would they? I'm assuming Kevin Stefanski's back. That's my point.
It's the worst kept secret that he's back. Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly a state secret. The organization has made that known to everyone and their brother.
With assessing everything at the end of the year again. So I assume he's back, and I'm glad of that. I think that's a good move.
No, I think they've already done their assessment.
Good. All right, good.
I think they know what's wrong. And the answer is everything.
Well, at least they could be specific.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's the key. All right.
They're narrowed it down, that's for sure.
Exactly. You really know how to just put the magnifying glass on it. So anyway, D, let's head into what people are really talking about right now, which is our old friend, the Art Modell Law, which was put in a little bit ago. The city of Cleveland, I believe, had put out a letter, which I think consists of Mayor Justin Bibb grabbing a feather from a quail and proceeding to write on a parchment and then holding it out in front of City Hall with starting it as hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah,
and
but
going
no,
from
he
there.
Sent it via email. So congrats on the mayor.
Wow.
Ditching the quin, ditching the
quill into parchment.
The quill to email. So,
oh, my goodness. All right, Daryl, can you explain to us what in the world is going on and what it all means?
And that wasn't the idea of the Modell Law, right? To keep a team from moving 12 miles down the road?
Yeah, my understanding of the Modell Law was to keep the team in the market. But they're really trying to do this thing, letter of the law, within the city limits here. Look, this is why the Browns filed that suit in federal court, to get the clarity on the Modell Law and the boundaries surrounding it. I'm pretty sure Cleveland don't want to pay $1 billion to renovate the existing stadium. And by the way, Cleveland owns that stadium. The Browns are under no legal obligation to spend one single dollar on that building. And yet they have over the years. And in fact, they fronted the cash 100% of it for the last massive renovation. And really the only massive renovation that's been done there. I mean, there's been work done to fix things, but I think a lot of gamesmanship, a lot of political theater being done by the mayor. I have serious doubts about his sincerity when it comes to wanting to keep the Browns. I have serious doubts about the legal standing, but I'm not a lawyer. I didn't write the law. I've read it. I think that folks need to pay attention to one of the clauses in the law, and it basically says that, you know, unless you have an agreement with the subdivision, which in this case would be the city of Cleveland, and I would translate that to, I think the mayor of Cleveland wants money from the Browns. I think that this is what this comes down to. I think he wants to have a settlement where the Browns give the city tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars before they build the dome in Brook Park. I think it's a shakedown. That's just my opinion on the situation. One of the first things that, you know, the Browns met with Mayor Bibb in early September and told him specifically, renovation is off the table. We are going to pursue the Brook Park project. And the mayor immediately started asking the Browns for money. He wanted money for demoing the stadium. He wanted money for lakefront development. He wanted money from small business owners, for small business owners to be impacted by the Browns leaving, also known as the guy selling T-shirts on Lakeside Avenue. Like, so, I mean, yeah, that's what I glean from this whole thing. And I don't know why he isn't waiting for this case to be heard in federal court and for the court to rule on it before he just flies off the handle and he sends this demand letter to the Haslam saying that, you know, he's going to pursue them, you know, selling the team. I don't think anyone here in Northeast that lives here in Northeast Ohio has $5.2 billion or whatever the Browns are actually worth these days laying around. But yeah, this thing has gotten to be a bloody mess. The Browns tried to avoid that, but the mayor of Cleveland is very intent on making this as confrontational a fight as possible. And, you know, that's just kind of where it's at.
Daryl and Daryl Ryder joining us, our Browns beat reporter. If the city of Cleveland, if Mayor Bibb doesn't want the Brook Park Dome, and nor do the county commissioners, apparently.
Right.
What are they offering?
Well, they offered Burke. But see, what they
did offer Burke as a place to put a dome?
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. What they're not understanding is the cost to build at Burke is significantly higher than to build in Brook Park. And time is a factor. Construction costs are exploding for these facilities. And so the Browns are on a timeline here. They want to get it built in time for 2029. And they want to get it built at the cost of $2.4 billion. And we all know it's not going to ultimately end up costing $2.4 billion. The Browns have already said if there are overruns, you know, for the dome, they would cover those costs. And obviously, the Browns being a business, they don't want to cover those costs. They don't have to. So, like, there is a time crunch here to get this done. But this isn't something that was done in a vacuum. The city of Cleveland by no means was blindsided by any of this. The Browns actually held their announcement for 5 to 6 weeks at the mayor's request because the mayor was afraid if the Browns announced they were moving to Brook Park, the federal government would then pull $60 million in funding for lakefront redevelopment. So the Browns said, fine, we'll be a good partner. We'll keep our mouth shut, hold off on the announcement until the federal money is secured, then we'll move forward. And then what did the mayor of Cleveland do as a thank you? He decided to upstage the Browns announcement by a day. And, you know, going off on, you know, the Browns and just what a dastardly act this was, you know. Not like the team's moving to Baltimore again. They're just going literally across the street from the airport. And the mayor is acting like the team's moving to San Antonio. So, you know, it takes a lot for me to defend the Haslams, but in this case, I kind of have to defend them. They've tried to handle this in a very professional way. They've tried not to negotiate through the media, unlike the mayor of Cleveland and the county. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you just have this very bitter animus, ugly fight over where the Browns are going to play going on. And look, my thing is, if the city of Cleveland wants them that bad, then y'all pay for the stadium renovation. It's your building. You own it. Then you pay for it. 100% of it. Browns shouldn't have to pay a penny toward it if you're gonna do this. You know, the Browns are trying to do a $3.4 billion construction project. Yes, there's $1.2 billion that they're asking in tax incentives or whatever to generated by the complex to be built to cover the bonds, or you know, but like that's a massive construction project the Browns are trying to do, and you know
something huge for our region.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, God forbid, you know, who would want, why would you want to recruit Final Fours to Cleveland? Why would you want to do that? Why would you, I don't know, hope maybe in the slim chance, maybe you get a Super Bowl? Why would you want to try and bring the NFL draft back? Why would you try and bring college football playoff games here, or bowl games, or neutral site games? Like, I mean, oh my God, the horror of the Haslams trying to do that. Now, granted, they have financial motive for doing this. They would control parking. They would control the building more. They, you know, they would stand to make a lot of money, but
all around it. Sure.
Yeah. But they're also putting a lot of their money into the project as well.
In other words, business, Daryl.
Right. So, I don't get the political theater. I just feel like the mayor jumped the gun yesterday, with that letter. And, you know, like, let's see what the federal court rules. You know, the law is very vague. It is really, really vague. And, you know, so I understand why, you know, the city might be reading it the way it is. But I also understand why the Browns are reading it the way that they're reading it. So I don't know why you just didn't wait for the court to go ahead and rule on it. Instead, you fire off we're gonna invoke it, and we're gonna try and find somebody else to take the team away from you. Like, okay, that's a real good way of negotiating and trying to. Because I honestly thought there was a settlement coming. I really did. I thought that this thing would just get settled out of court. I thought that yes, the Browns would give the city of Cleveland some money for stadium demolition and, you know, maybe some other stuff or whatever. But now, if I'm the Browns, I'm drawing the line in the sand and saying the heck with you guys. I'm not. I'll wait for what the court tells us we can do, and that's just going to be it. And until then, we're moving full steam ahead with the Brook Park project.
Our Cleveland sports reporter Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, the other part of this that I wonder is, okay, so right now, they're going to evoke this law. So clearly the new victor in all of these proceedings are going to be billable hours. That's going to be the victor.
Yeah, the winners are the lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to be a lawyer right now,
It's really good to be a lawyer throughout all of this. And then the city of Cleveland gets dragged through the mud. And then let's say we hit this point where they open the 30-day it's a 30-day window,
no,
correct?
It's 6 months.
6 months, that's it. The six-month window for somebody else to step in and buy this franchise. I don't know where it's coming from, especially if it's got to be somebody
that's
who's
not going
a resident.
To happen.
Well,
they're not going to sell the franchise.
I've got one thought. And it's an ugly thought, Daryl, and if you don't have this answer, I understand, and please don't make me think this is you putting you out in a spot that you won't understand. I wonder...
You're ready, Daryl.
I wonder with the new rule that's been put in with the NFL, and this is my dark secret place that I don't like to go to, with that groups can come in and buy, that they're letting like funds...
Well, that's limited to 10% ownership.
So, oh, it's only limited to 10%?
Yes. So,
okay, I'll hush up then.
Yeah, so like, I mean, the Haslams, it is still subject to NFL owner approval, but yeah, it's limited to 10%, so that'd be a fast way for any franchise. And we've already seen a couple of franchises do this. In the Browns' case, according to Forbes, the Browns are valued over $5 billion. I think they said $5.15 billion for 2024. So that would be a quick way for Jimmy Haslam to raise a quick $515 million. Now, I have been told that he is not interested in exploring that avenue at this time. So, but... yeah, and the Modell law says it has to be local ownership. So, and that's kind of how the Haslams actually. It's funny, the city of Cleveland and Mayor Bibb doesn't think the Haslams understand the Modell law, when in fact the Haslams used the Modell law to buy the Columbus Crew.
Buy the Columbus Crew
and save the Crew.
Yep.
So, you know,
they know it better than most.
Yeah. So.
Well, because my whole thought, Daryl, my deep dark secret was that you were going to have a Saudi come in and buy an apartment. No. And then all of a sudden go, yeah, I got the cash. I got a place right over there, right on the lake. Here's the cash. No. You want it in, do you prefer duffel bags, briefcases, or you want me to write you a check?
Yeah. So, all right, so that's limited to 10%.
Cool. That puts the kibosh on that. All right. Now I feel better. Thanks, Daryl.
Let me get one last thought before we let you.
I got some Browns news to pass along, too, if you want.
Go.
Cedric Tillman's placed on injured reserve. They filled his roster spot by bringing back running back John Kelly. And then they made a bunch of practice squad moves. So, but the big news, there will be no Cedric Tillman in the regular season finale.
All right.
Crud.
What have we learned about his former high school teammate in the last two starts, Dorian Thompson-Robinson?
That he's not any good.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
hashtag analysis.
Not an NFL quarterback. That's what we've learned. What, you disagree with me?
Let me give you this one.
No.
Give me a name, we'll let you run.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Bailey Zappi, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Which one or two will be back on this team next year?
None of the above? Well, I mean, obviously they have to keep Deshaun, right? Okay. The question is the mechanism in which they keep him? Is it PUP? Is it IR? Is it a 52-man roster and he just doesn't do anything? Like, that remains to be seen, right? But it's obviously Watson because of the contract. But the other guys, I think Winston. If there aren't any better options out there, I can't justify DTR again, and you know. If they're not going to, we'll find out here in a little bit if they're going to play Bailey Zappi on Sunday. But, you know, if you ain't going to play him now, you aren't ever going to play him. So I don't know why you'd keep him.
All right, buddy. Pepper the coach with questions. We'll talk to you later.
He'll barely answer them for you.
All right, guys.